When Ukrainian revolutionaries stormed President Yanukovych's palace in 2014, they discovered something that defied comprehension: a private zoo with ostriches, a championship golf course, gold-plated bathroom fixtures, and a five-story log cabin stuffed with treasures. All this splendor existed in a country where the average citizen earned less than $400 monthly. One visitor scrawled a note that captured the visceral disgust. "How much can one man need? Horror. I feel nauseous." This grotesque palace wasn't an anomaly. It was a window into a shadow world where the world's corrupt elite park their stolen billions. Welcome to Moneyland, a virtual country that exists wherever money needs hiding, a place with no geography but enormous power. After World War II, the Bretton Woods system compartmentalized global finance. Currencies were pegged to the dollar to gold, and cross-border movements were strictly controlled, creating unprecedented prosperity in the 1950s and 60s. But bankers like Roland Baring considered these restrictions ethically wrong. When Britain faced currency crises in 1957, Citibanks discovered a loophole: euro dollars. American dollars held in European banks that escaped both American and British oversight. Every restriction just made keeping dollars in London more profitable. Money began leaking offshore, pressuring the dollar-gold price until the system collapsed. This answered a fundamental question: who owns money, the earner or the nation? Money proved it could do what it wanted despite government efforts. It created an inevitable tension between borderless money and bordered states, like one boxer forced to stay in the ring while his opponent can jump out anytime. Countries chased lost business by making onshore increasingly similar to offshore. Taxes fell, regulations relaxed, politicians became friendlier, all to attract restless money. Nevis, a tiny Caribbean island with just 11,000 residents, transformed itself into an impenetrable financial fortress. Facing bleak economic prospects after independence, Premier Simeon Daniel hired American lawyers to craft legislation creating virtually bulletproof corporate structures. Attorney David Neufeld described it as playing God with creation. The framework makes Nevis a kleptocrat's paradise. It doesn't recognize foreign judgments, requires a $100,000 bond to file cases locally, automatically dismisses claims over a year old, and maintains minimal documentation. Today, approximately 18,000 corporate structures, more than the island's population, generate about $10 million annually in government revenue. This system particularly devastates divorce cases. A Russian woman won Britain's largest divorce settlement only after spending $1.4 million tracing assets hidden in Nevis companies. Tech millionaire Robert Oysterland similarly concealed wealth from his wife. Beyond divorce, these structures enable market manipulation, celebrity targeting scams, securities fraud, predatory lending at 700% interest, and money laundering worth hundreds of millions. Jersey, meanwhile, specializes in trusts, medieval legal arrangements separating ownership from enjoyment. If you no longer technically own your assets, you can't be taxed on them. The 1990s in Russia hit a catastrophic low when state TV broadcast compromising footage of Prosecutor General Yuri Skuratov with two young women. This wasn't journalism. It was blackmail to stop Skuratov's investigation into massive corruption reaching President Yeltsin. Behind the scandal, Skuratov had revealed that Russia's central bank secretly transferred billions to Jersey-registered shell company Fimaco, allowing officials to profit from government debt without paying taxes. Richard Palmer, former CIA Moscow station chief, testified that Fimaco was just one of thousands of corporate structures used to systematically loot Russia. The goal was to take the money outside of Russia and keep it there, safe from any threats of retrieval, he explained. For America to reach similar corruption levels would require simultaneously corrupting Congress, Justice, Treasury, FBI, CIA, courts, Fortune 500 companies, banks, and the NYSE. The aftermath revealed stark inequality. Skuratov's career was destroyed, while Putin, who authenticated the sex tape as FSB chief, rose to power. under Putin's presidency, none of those who enriched themselves faced prosecution. Number 29 Harley Street once housed Professor Ronald Raven, a decorated war hero and cancer specialist who treated royalty until 1991. Today, this prestigious medical address serves a darker purpose. Investigations revealed Viktor Yanukovych owned his secret property empire through companies registered here, with ultimate ownership hidden in Liechtenstein. The building now houses Formations House, which claims to have created over 10 million companies worldwide in 16 years. For just $95, anyone can purchase a company with this prestigious address, complete with receptionists answering calls and forwarding mail. In 2003, Sherwin & Noble, registered at 29 Harley Street, perpetrated an advanced fee fraud. A fake Sir Richard Benson, actually struggling actor Henry Berger, posed as a knighted financier with billions to invest. Victims paid hundreds of thousands in advance fees for non-existent financing. The prestigious Harley Street address lent crucial credibility despite being merely a shell company owned in the British Virgin Islands. On World Cancer Day 2014, President Yanukovych visited Ukraine's Cancer Institute for propaganda photos, while the director falsely claimed all treatment was free. In reality, patients routinely paid for drugs and equipment despite constitutional guarantees. Cancer, Ukraine's second leading cause of death, exposed a healthcare system corrupted into full-blown extortion. Health ministry officials allied with private companies to dominate budget sectors, conducting business via Cyprus shell companies. Anti-corruption activists discovered the ministry overpaying for HIV and TB medications by 150 to 300% compared to charities buying identical drugs, while lacking funds to provide antiretrovirals to everyone who needed them. Parents described systematic bribery at every stage, entering regional hospitals, reaching specialized institutes, and securing operations. Doctors used coded signals, writing 100 and pointing upward for dollars, or finger gestures indicating thousands required. Patients had no recourse, fearing their children would be discharged if they complained. When international agencies took over procurement after the revolution, they immediately reduced cancer medicine costs by 40% simply by removing corrupt intermediaries. In early 2007, Bradley Birkenfeld exposed a worldwide conspiracy of tax evasion facilitated by Swiss banking. Despite seeking immunity, he served 40 months in jail, but his revelations shattered Swiss banking secrecy forever. Birkenfeld detailed schemes helping clients hide wealth, placing valuables in Swiss safety deposit boxes, buying luxury items with undeclared funds, and using untraceable Swiss credit cards. He once smuggled diamonds in a toothpaste tube. A Senate investigation revealed the Treasury was losing $100 billion annually to offshore schemes. By 2015, FATCA effectively killed the easiest tax evasion methods for Americans. The U.S. leveraged its economic power to force compliance, with Europe following through the Taman reporting standard, enabling automatic information exchange. Yet two major problems persist. Poor countries whose corrupt leaders hide wealth offshore remain excluded from information exchange, and the U.S. operates a one-way system. Foreign institutions must share information about U.S. citizens' assets, but U.S. institutions don't reciprocate. The fight against Moneyland continues. Every luxury condo purchased with stolen funds, every shell company hiding a dictator's wealth, represents a choice. Will we accept a world where money has more rights than people? When wealth flows freely across borders while justice remains trapped within them, democracy itself becomes a charade.